can't say I always am. I wish I was. God has to remind me sometimes to be thankful. It's just broken like that sometimes, but we sure do got a lot to be thankful for. And so praise the Lord for that. Thank you for that song. I'm going to get right into the message tonight. I know we got communion, and so I'm just going to try to jump right in, and we're going to pick up where we left off at last week in the book of James. And hopefully you kind of recall, if you were here, what we were talking about. But we were in James chapter number 1, and we looked at verses 17 and 18, and we talked about basically how God is good. Amen. God is good. And sometimes we just got to be reminded of that, especially when we're going through trials, especially when we're going through tests or temptations. It's a good reminder that God is good. Amen. And that's what we looked at last week. We talked about how God was good, and we saw that it's seen by his character. He's the Father of lights. There's no darkness in him at all. God is a God of light, and we saw how his character displays his goodness. We saw how his care, every good gift. Look at verse number 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Every good thing in our lives, God gave us. Amen. God provides for his children. And so we saw his character. We saw his care, or you could say his contributions. We saw his consistency in verse number 17. It says that with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Aren't you glad God doesn't change? I sure am glad that God doesn't change, because I know I change, and I know a lot of things and a lot of people change, but I'm glad God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so he's consistent. And then the last thing we saw last week was his converting, or I said his conception in verse number 18, or his conceiving. And it says, verse 18, of his own will begat he us, right? We were conceived. We were born again. We were converted by the will of God. It was God's will. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we saw how that God's converting, he begat us. And the last thing we talked about last week was that it was by his grace, of his own will. Not anything that we did, not anything that we deserved, but God, in his grace, of his own will, he begat us. That's a wonderful truth. I wish that we could just really get a hold of the fact that we did not get what we deserved. If you're here tonight and you're saved, it's by God's grace. You did not deserve it. I did not deserve it. It was because God is just good like that. It's just who he is. It's just his character. And so he saved us, and it was by his grace. It was of his own will, right? And it was by the word of truth. And so it was his grace, and it was his gospel. It's the word of truth that we're saved by. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? And it's by the word, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It's all God, brother. It's by his grace, it's by his gospel, and it's for his glory. Look at verse number 18. I'm going somewhere with this. It says that he begat of his own will, he begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And if you recall last week, as I was finishing up my message, I mentioned how that those first fruits, it was a feast in the Old Testament, and they would bring and they would wave those first fruits before God, and it was an offering that they brought forth, and it was really just to let God, it was really just to say thank you, God. God, just thank you so much for what you've done for us. God, we're giving you our first fruits. The first fruit of what we've been given, God, we're giving it back to you because you deserve it. And God, because we're relying on you and we're trusting in you. And it was the first fruits was, it was all for God's glory, right? And so we saw how that we were converted by his grace, by his gospel, and for his glory. And now look at verse number 19 with those thoughts in mind. James said this. He said, wherefore? Wherefore? You say, why did you go through all that, Brother David? Because James said, wherefore? Right? And when you see the word wherefore, you have to see what it's there for, right? You have to look back and see what James was saying. James says, wherefore? Because of the fact that you've been saved. Because of the fact that God in his grace and by his gospel and for his glory converted you and changed your life. Wherefore, James says, there's something you need to do. Now, I think it's interesting. Some people debate whether or not James is talking about, when he says wherefore, whether he's saying wherefore because of that verse that we just looked at, verse 18, wherefore because you're saved, because you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, that's what it means to be begat of his own will. To be begat is to be born again, right? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's born again. He's a new creation in Christ Jesus. And some people say, well, that's what James is referring to. I tend to believe that's what James is referring to. Some people believe that James is referring to everything that he said up to this point. And I don't think that there would be anything wrong with that. Wherefore? Because there's tests in life. Because there's trials in life. Because there's troubles in life, because there's temptations in life, because God is good and all that God is, it could be that James is saying, wherefore? Because of everything that I've said, I want to give you something that you need to do, right? And I'm not sure that it really matters or is that important what whether James is talking about everything he said up to this point or about what he just said about being born again, because I believe it all applies, right? Wherefore? Because you're the first fruits, because you are God's children, because you're a new creature, a new creation in God, James is going to begin to give some real practical instruction about the Christian life. Remember when we started this book of James, we talked about how that it's a practical book. It's applicable. It applies to our everyday life. James is really beginning to get into some practical stuff right here. And the book of James is just full of practical teaching. And so James is giving some instructions here in verse number 18 and verse number 19. And there's a little bit of debate about what these instructions are referencing, whether or not they're referencing verse 18, where he said that you were born by the word of truth. And some people believe that James is referencing the word of God, because he's going to pick it back up in verse number 21, where he says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the grafted word. And James is going to begin through the rest of this chapter to talk about the word of God. And so it could be that James is talking in these verses, verse 19 and 20, about the word of God, but it could be that James is just not talking about just the word. He's talking about our walk, right? Our way of living. Because we're a Christian, James says there's some things that you need to do in your life because you're a Christian. Now, whether or not he's talking about the word of God in particular, or whether he's just talking about a way of life, I don't think that matters either, because the truth is the same either way. It's all throughout the scripture what James is about to say. And so I want to look at that tonight. I want to look at these couple things that James is saying here. I personally kind of believe he's just saying it's a way of life. You need to have this attitude in your Christian life, right? This is it. So he's talked about trials. He talked about tests. He talked about temptation. I think he might be talking about temperament, right? The way that we live our lives, our temperament, the way that we walk in the Christian life. James is going to give us some good practical instruction. I mean, verse number 20 says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God, right? It could be that James is saying, you see, because if you want to live a life that worketh the righteousness of God, that lives out, Jesus talked in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, lest your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Sometimes righteousness is talking about the way we live, right? And I believe that's what he's talking about, verse number 20. He says that the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God, the way that we live, right? The way that we represent God. And so if we're going to represent God well, we need to see what James has to say in verse number 19. And so that's what I want to look at tonight. I think James is going to give us some things about our temperament, and then he's going to talk about the truth about the word of God. And so I want to give you a couple thoughts tonight out of verse number 19 and verse number 20. The first thing I want to see is this. James says you need to have a readiness to receive. A readiness to receive. Look at verse number 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren. He's talking to Christians, okay? It's important we understand that. James is talking to Christians. Even in verse number, and we'll get into this next week, Lord willing. Verse number 21, when he says, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. He's still talking to Christians. I mean, that's something. But he says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, those of you that are born again, those of you that are saved. James says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. That's interesting. If you look up that word swift, I looked it up, it means this. It means prompt or ready. James says, be ready, be prompt, be swift to hear. It's as if James is saying to these believers that they need to pay attention, right? They need to be ready. They need to have a readiness to receive. Evidently, I wrote down here, evidently these believers have the same issue that many of us have. They were swift to speak and slow to hear. I think a lot of us can relate to that. I know I can. Swift to speak and slow to hear. And James said, no, it's the opposite, right? It goes against our nature. I think that's why James is saying, wherefore, my beloved brethren, you're going to have to do something because you're a born again, because you're a Christian, because you're a child of God, you're going to have to do something that's opposite of your nature. This has to do with that new nature that you've got living on inside of you, because your old nature is real swift to speak and it's real slow to hear. And James says you need to be swift to hear and slow to speak. Now, I'm going to try to get through this message quickly because this one hits me right in the heart. Okay, I don't know about you, but this is tough stuff right here. James said you need to have a readiness to receive. I think he's saying you need to watch your mouth. Don't be so quick to say something. Look at verse number 13 of chapter 1. He already said in verse number 13, let no man say. Right? Could be that he's referencing trials and temptations when he says, be swift to hear and slow to speak. When you're going through a trial, this man in verse number 13, he said, let no man say when he is tempted. When you're going through a trial, through a temptation, don't be so quick to open your mouth, because you may say something that you regret. You may blame God, and it's not God that caused that problem or that trial or that temptation in your life. God may have allowed that trial, but God's not the reason for that temptation to sin. And so he says, be careful about what you say. James says a lot about people saying. Evidently, these people had a problem with what they said. I read where some people said that Jewish people were very, in this day, they were known for just speaking and saying things, that they shouldn't say, and I thought, I must be Jewish. Amen. I didn't know that, right? I think it's not a Jewish thing. I think it's a human thing, right? Sometimes we just open our mouth and insert our foot, right? And so James is telling these people, be careful about what you say. Like, look at verse number 26 of chapter 1. He said, if any man among you seem to be religious, and look at it, bridleth not his tongue. James has a lot to say in the book of James about the tongue. And so I'm not going to spend too much time on this point, because we're going to get to it in chapter 3. But look at chapter number 2. Look at verse number 14. He says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man may say? You see that? Though a man say he hath faith and have not works. Can faith save him? Look at verse number 18. He says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. James says, you're real good at saying stuff, right? Chapter 3, the bulk of the chapter is about the tongue. Look at chapter number 3, and we'll get into that when the time comes. But he talks about in verse number 2, he says, if any man offend in all, if any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about the whole body. And he goes on to talk about the tongue in verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. You see, James says, hey, you got a problem with your tongue. You got a problem with saying things. And before you say something, you need to hear. And so he says, be swift to hear, right? You need to listen. You've got a lot to say, but you need to first listen. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about that. The Bible has a whole lot to say about hearing. I wrote down some verses of Scripture. I'm not going to go through them all, because there's just so many. We could literally preach a series on just hearing. But let me give you a couple verses. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5 says this, a wise man will hear and will increase in learning. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 10 says, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Matthew chapter 11, verse 15, Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. John chapter 10, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, right? Revelation chapter 2, verse 17 says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Over and over and over again, the word of God talks about our hearing. It says you need to listen. You need to be swift to hear. You need to pay attention. And I'm telling you, we live in a world that makes that difficult. We're living in a time where the television is constantly changing from one thing to the next. Reels, 30 seconds, 15 seconds, and flashing lights and billboards and advertisements and everything is just quick, 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 and it's getting our minds where we have a hard time focusing. And James is saying to these Christians, my beloved brethren, if you're gonna be the type of Christian that you need to be, if you're gonna be the type of first fruit that I want you to be, you gotta be swift to hear. You got to be ready to receive, right? And so it's a readiness to receive. I think about Samuel. We were studying Samuel in our Sunday school lesson this morning, and I thought about that as I was preparing this. Remember when Samuel laid down and he heard his name, Samuel, Samuel, and he rose up and he went to Eli, and he said, did you call for me? Eli said, I didn't call for you. Go lay back down. And Samuel came again. And Eli, did you call for me? And he said, no, go lay back down. And went on. And he said, then Eli perceived that it was God that was calling Samuel. And he told Samuel, he said, the next time you hear your name, Samuel, you say this. Say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. And you can read in 1 Samuel chapter 3, I believe it is, Samuel went and laid down and he heard Samuel, Samuel. And he rose up and he said, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Samuel said, God, you got my ear. God, you've got my attention. God, I'm ready to receive, right? I wonder if we're ready to receive. I wonder if God's got our ear. I wonder if God has our attention. Have you ever been talking to someone and you know they're not listening? My wife's shaking her head. I'm hurt. It's a family trait around my way, right? I grew up not being listened to, so I have a hard time listening sometimes, right? That's frustrating, isn't it? You ever talking to somebody and you can just tell they're not listening? Their mind is like somewhere else, and you're talking and you're just like, I've literally done this. I've been talking and just said, I'm gonna stop talking because you're not listening to me, and they're still not even like, you know, no, don't stop. They ain't listening, right? They don't even know you done changed subject. You can start talking about anything and they'll just be sitting there nodding, right? Because they're not even paying attention. Their mind is somewhere else, right? James says, don't be that way. Be ready to receive. Right? I mean, it is. It's frustrating when you're trying to talk to someone. And you know what? A lot of times, and I'm guilty of this. God help me. I have been convicted by this so many times. You're thinking about what you're going to say. Right? You ever talk to somebody and you're talking to them and you know they're not listening to me. They're just waiting for their turn to speak. So you just be like, I'm going to stop and let you talk. Because I'm wasting my breath. You want to say, it's obvious that what you got to say is more important than what I've got to say. And I'm talking from experience because I'm guilty of it. And God help me. James says, hey, be swift to hear. Be ready to receive. You've heard it before. God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason, right? And not only did he just give us one mouth, James talks about the tongue, he hid it behind a bunch of teeth, right? That's why some of you is trying to get rid of them. You're like, I'm trying to let this tongue out, right? I shouldn't have said that. That's wrong, right? You're not trying to get rid of them. Nature does that too, right? You got to be ready to receive. You got to be open and attentive and listening to what God has to say. Not distracted, not daydreaming. We're living in a culture. I've been preaching to our teens on Wednesday nights about the dangers of media in our society, and it's been eye-opening to me. This thing of media, and I'm talking about everything, video games, cell phones, television, radio, the internet, every form that would fall underneath of what we define as media. And can I tell you, it is distracting us. Our minds are just so filled with so many other things. Pastor was talking about a little bit this morning, how that our minds are just so busy. And James is saying, hey, pay attention. Be swift to hear. God has something that he wants to say to you. And I wonder tonight, are you listening? Am I listening? Because God's wanting to speak. And so James tells these people, be swift to hear. He says, James is saying, you need to concentrate. Right? I had a little outline here, but I'm not going to preach it. But I had here that you know, swift to hear, and it takes listening. That's a choice. You've got to decide, I'm going to listen. Right? It not only takes listening, but it takes being lowly, right? Sometimes the reason we don't listen is because we think we know it all. We can't listen to what somebody else has to say because we got all the answers. James is saying, no, you don't have all the answers, right? Be swift to hear. Open your ears. Listen. Be lowly. And then last, be leadable. Let somebody teach you something, right? God help me to have my ears open so I can learn. And I believe that's what James is saying. He's saying you need to be ready to receive. So number one, he says there needs to be a readiness to receive. Number two, he says you need to reflect before responding. Ouch. Look at verse number 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, be ready to receive. And then he says, let every man be slow to speak. He didn't say let every man, but it's there, right? Let every man be swift to hear. Also, let every man be slow to speak. He says, you need to reflect before responding. Think before you speak. We've heard that our whole lives, but how often do we do it? How often do we actually think before we speak? The Bible has a lot to say about that. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2 says this, be not rash with thy mouth. Let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. A fool's voice is known by multitude of words. Proverbs 10:19, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. Proverbs 17:28 says, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Ouch. I don't know if that hurts you, but it hurts me. So sometimes our mouths can get us into a lot of trouble. James says you need to be slow to speak. Don't be so quick to respond. Now, as I said, some people believe he's talking about the Word of God, and I think it applies. He could very well be talking. I'm not saying he's not. He could be talking about that Word of truth that he just mentioned, and he's saying you need to be swift to hear the Word of God. You need to be ready to receive the Word of God. And he could be saying you need to be slow to speak back to the Word of God, or slow to speak the Word of God. You need to reflect before you speak. I need to be careful about what I say. He's going to touch on that in James chapter 3 when he says, verse number 1, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that ye shall receive the greater condemnation. Because when we get up and we speak the Word of God, we better be sure that what we're saying is right. And it could be that James is talking about the truth, but it could be that James is talking about trials. He says, wherefore, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. Be careful about what you say when you're going through a hard time. Be careful about what you say when you're in the midst of a trial in your life. Because if you're not careful, it's in those trials and it's in those troubles that these people are going through. We'll start getting hasty in our speech and we'll say things we don't mean. And once they're said, they're done. Now, we can ask forgiveness, and God will forgive us, but the damage is done. That old phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, is a lie. Right, right. That's a lie. The Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. There's been people lose their life because of things that people say. And what we say is a big deal, and James says you need to reflect before responding. There's a place in Nehemiah chapter number 5. I've been doing a study in Nehemiah on leadership, and I ran across this, and I thought about it. Nehemiah chapter 5, I love the book of Nehemiah. If God allows one of these days, maybe even soon, well, I won't say soon because we've been in James and we're only in chapter 1 and we've been here a while, so I don't know how soon. But Lord willing, one of these days I'm going to preach a series of messages out of Nehemiah. I'm falling in love with the book of Nehemiah. In Nehemiah chapter number 5, Nehemiah hears some words. These people come to him complaining. And the Bible says that Nehemiah heard these words, and that when he heard these words, he was angry. And then it says in verse number 7, then I consulted with myself. Wow. That's smart, Nehemiah. That's smart, David. That's smart, Christian. Think before you speak. Nehemiah consulted with himself. He thought about how he was going to respond. One man said this. He said, be sure your mind is in gear before you open your mouth to speak. You ever tried to take off and your vehicle is not in gear, or it's kind of in between gears? You ever done that before? Am I the only person that's done that? Right? It's like, you make a lot of noise, but you ain't going nowhere. I think that's what it's saying here. You better think before you speak, because you're going to make a lot of noise, but you ain't going nowhere. You're making a lot of noise, but you're not going to accomplish anything. Right? You might even, if you're not careful, you might even tear your car up. Right? And so it says, before you speak, make sure your mind's in gear. And God knows how I need this in my life. So James says, number one, if you're going to be the kind of Christian that you need to be, he says, number one, you need to concentrate. You need to pay attention and be swift to hear. And then he says, you need to be slow to speak. You need to contemplate. You need to think before you speak. Right? And so he says, number one, you need to concentrate. Number two, you need to contemplate. And then number three, look at it in verse number 19. He says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. And then look, he says, slow to wrath. I said you need to be ready to receive. You need to reflect before responding. And then you need to restrain your rage. James says, be slow to wrath. I can't tell you the people that I've heard say, well, I just can't help it. It's just the way we are. It's just I'm trying to think of, I shouldn't use an illustration in here, right? Us Freemans just got bad tongue. No, I'm just playing. My wife's never said that. I'm just joking. Us Merrimans just got bad tempers, right? We can't help ourselves, right? I mean, I don't know. But you've heard people say, it's just our way. We just got back. My family, we got back. We're Irish. Is that what they say or something? I don't know. We're like, they come off with what, you know, whatever race they are, like that matters, right? No, you're human, right? You're flesh. I mean, people come off with the color of their hair. You know, I'm a redhead. We're hotheads, right? Okay, I'm a whitehead, okay, whatever. I mean, that ain't got nothing to do with it, because I got a hot head too, and it's white. The snow's not hot, right? Fire is, I don't know. But you need to restrain your rage. Quit with all that stuff, right? Quit with all that stuff. That's just our human nature. And James is saying, hey, if you're going to represent me the way that you're supposed to represent me, you're going to have to be swift to hear, and you're going to have to be slow to speak. You have to reflect before responding. And then you're going to have to refrain your rage. Proverbs 14:29 says, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty in spirit exalteth folly. It says you're going to make a fool of yourself. If you don't get a control of that temper, if you don't get control of that anger, you're gonna exalt folly. You're gonna make a fool of yourself, is what Proverbs is saying. Proverbs 25, verse 28 says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit, listen, is like a city that is broken down and without walls. People almost like glory in their temper. It's like they're proud of it. I got a bad temper. That's nothing to be proud of. The Bible says you're like a city without walls. You're not safe. You're in danger. Back in those days, if you had a city without walls, you were in grave danger. Right? It exalteth folly. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. So don't be so quick to tell everybody about your temper, because really all you're telling them about is you're foolish. Right? And so James says you need to resist that rage in your life. Be slow to anger. Don't be hasty in your spirit. Don't be quick to lose it, right? Because that's not going to work the righteousness of God. Look at verse number 20. He says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Why? For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. I think all these things go together. That's swift to hear. When we don't hear out a matter, and we don't even listen, and we're just ready to speak, and we're rash in our words, and we just speak out what's on our mind. The next thing you know, our tempers will be out of control, and our anger worketh not the righteousness of God, James said. And so I said, we need to be ready to receive. Right? There needs to be a readiness to receive. We need to reflect before responding. And then we need to restrain our rage. And I'll tell you why. Because it will result in righteousness. You see, if these things worketh not the righteousness of God, then I'm just gonna flip that and say, well, if these things worketh not the righteousness of God, if I do these things, then it's going to work the righteousness of God. You understand what I'm saying? If you are slow to speak, if you are swift to hear, if you are slow to wrath, the results are going to be the righteousness of God. People are going to see our lives, and it's going to glorify our God. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We were begotten as the first fruits, right? It's for His glory. James says, if you're going to live a life that's going to glorify Him, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If you're going to live that kind of life, you better be swift to hear. And we could talk about all kinds of stuff. Swift to hear the Word of God, obviously. Swift to hear instruction. We're not swift to hear garbage. I mean, let's not just think we're supposed to be swift to hear anything. But we got to be swift to hear. We got to be ready to receive the Word of God, ready to receive the instruction, ready to receive the help that God has for us, the wisdom that God wants to impart in us. If we're ready to receive and we reflect before we respond, we don't just open our mouth and say things that we haven't thought through, and we choose our words wisely, and we restrain our rage, and we have control. I said, James said, you gotta concentrate. You gotta listen on purpose. You gotta contemplate. You gotta think before you speak. And then he says, you gotta have some control, restrain that rage, and don't lose your temper, because if you'll do it, he says, it will result in righteousness, in God's righteousness. People will see God in your life if you'll do these things. People will see God in my life if we'll do these things, because these things are not natural. The world's not used to seeing people that are swift to hear, that are slow to speak, that are slow to wrath. They're used to seeing just the opposite. And we could go through the Bible and look at all kinds of examples of this, but for sake of time, I'm going to finish. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, because you're a Christian, be swift to hear. Be ready to receive. Be slow to speak. Reflect before you respond. Be slow to wrath. Restrain your rage, and it will result in righteousness. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness, and God, thank you for your word. God, I pray that you would just take your word tonight and do a work in the hearts of your people. God, how I pray, Lord, that you would help me, God, in this area of my life. God, I know that these are areas of my life in which I need work. God, I'm thankful for what you've already done in my life, but God, I pray that you continue to work on me in these areas. And Lord, help me to be an example of the believer, God, to live a life that would glorify and that would honor you and be a good representation of you in this world. And God, we just pray for your help tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. You can stand to your feet. I'll have you bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm going to have the pianist come, and she's going to begin to play.